I want to give you a warm welcome, a very warm welcome, in fact, to our evening service. Really glad that you're able to join us, whether you're in the car park or whether you're watching online from home. You're very, very welcome. We want to give a welcome as well to those taking part in this evening service. Reverend Kenny Johnson here to bring the message and Laura Astley Brown to lead us in praise. And so I'm just simply here to welcome them, to open in prayer and to give you a few announcements. So we'll start with the announcements anyway, which is just the normal reminder to please stay in your car at all times. Feel free to put all the windows down and let the nice breeze through. And then as well, there will be stewards walking around. If you've any issues and need any assistance, do wave somebody down. We'll be opening in prayer, and then Laura Astley is going to lead us in three songs of praise. And then Reverend Johnson is going to bring the message, and then Laura Astley will finish with the solo piece. And so once the solo piece is finished, the stewards will give you the nod to leave in a orderly exit. So please do follow their instructions for that. Reminder as well, we have our Wednesday night prayer meeting at 7:30 in the main hall. Masks are now mandatory according to Arlene Foster. The doors will open at 7:15. And so please do, if you're able, come along and join us in prayer. Or maybe if you're not able, perhaps make Wednesday night just a time that you can set aside an hour of prayer together as we lift up some specifics for our own fellowship, for our families, for our local community as well. We do want to encourage you as well for next Sunday. We've got Aaron Kirkpatrick speaking in the morning service and Reverend Philip Campbell speaking in the evening service with the singing next Sunday evening led by the Hannah family. And so do please tune in, or weather dependent as well, join us here at 5 o'clock next Sunday evening. So without any further ado as well, let us just bow in prayer. Let us settle our hearts and seek the Lord's blessing for our gathering now. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to gather here. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, opened up from the university as well, that we can use this space, Lord, as a worship service, as a gospel service, Father, an opportunity to at least see one another. We thank you, Lord, for the little bit of help that comes, Lord, from even just being reminded as we gather in one place that we are indeed part of something bigger, part of something, Lord, that is not restrained by buildings. For Father, as our worship to you, Lord, we remind ourselves that you are not contained by houses that hands have built. You indeed are the creator of the heaven and the earth. You fill everywhere. There is nowhere that we can go that we escape you, whether it is the heights or the depths or the far side of the sea. Even there, your presence is with us. So, Father, we claim your presence here for our gathering. We claim that wherever we're listening from, Lord God, that our hearts would be challenged, that our hearts would be conscious of meeting with the everlasting God. We pray, Lord, with gratitude for Kenny and for Laura Astley as they minister for you this evening, and we pray your blessing upon them, and Father, that you'd use them to be a blessing. So, Lord, we want to open our hearts. We want to enjoy the joy of the Lord that goes beyond all circumstances, even outside of this world, Father. For we thank you that our joy is based on knowing you. And so, Father, we look to you for your help. We look to you, Father, for in faith for your presence, just to be so conscious to us. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Thank you to Abbots for asking me to come and lead some worship. It's well over a year since I was here. Since then, we've had a little boy, by the way, for those of you, there are some people who said they hadn't heard. So we had a little boy last August, so he's almost one, which is hard to believe. But anyway, we're going to start with, would you be free from your burden of sin? I chose this one really to catch your attention. If you think about the chorus says, there is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And I think sometimes when we sing things like this, it's very well known, it's very easy to sing from start to finish without actually thinking about the words. But if we could even just think about that chorus, about the power in the blood of the Lamb.
Free from your burden of sin, there's power in the blood,
Okay, so maybe you were singing, but I can't hear you very well up here. So maybe you could lean out the window or something. That would be great. The next song we're going to do is Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me.
Chains are released. I can sing.
Okay, so we're going to finish this part of the worship with Blessed Assurance, which of course is another well-known one. So please do sing out if you can. I'm thinking particularly of verse 2, perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight.
Thank our dear sister for that ministry and song. You know, as I often say, if you're going to sing for the Lord, make sure you can sing. And that it adds to the meeting. And it uplifts Christ. And we have certainly been ministered to already tonight. And it's wonderful to know these tremendous truths. You know, I like to stick to the passage and the verse. And in our church, we study books of the Bible. It's a big book. And you can take a verse from here and there and preach on it. Of course you can, but we study the books chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But tonight I want to speak on a subject, and that takes you around the book a little bit. And it's entitled Saved and Satisfied. Now some of you folk are probably the same age as I am, as I look around the motors, and some of you are a little bit older. But I grew up listening to music as a child, and it was a group called the Beatles. And there was this old boy called Mick Jagger. And of course, he's away in his 70s today, and he still sings the same song. And he used to sing this song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. And I used to sing that song with him. And for the first 32 years of my life, I tried the world for satisfaction and couldn't get it. And tonight, I want to speak on a simple subject, saved and satisfied. For dear friends, we live in a world, and it can't get satisfaction. You know, the psalmist says these words in Psalm 107, verse 9. He says, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And in the words of the Lord Jesus himself, in John chapter 7, 37 to 39, he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly or his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Now, I don't know where you stand before the Lord tonight, and I'm sure many of you folk are saved, but maybe you're at this meeting, and it's a divine appointment with God, and He's brought you here tonight, for He wants to speak to you, and He wants to save you. And I want to speak just about three simple things which Christians should be satisfied with. There's many things we should be satisfied with. Many, many things we should be satisfied with. But three simple things. First, every Christian is satisfied with Christ's redemption. You see, dear friends, it's sufficient for the sins of the world. And you know, He was God's sinless offering for sin. For Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he said these words about our Lord Jesus and God at His work. He said, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Dear friends, there are many today who have religion and various systems and join various isms. But you know as well as I know that the world needs a sinless Savior. You see, people say, "I'm a Buddhist and I'm a this and I'm a that and I'm a Muslim and I believe in Muhammad." Dear friends, we need a sinless Savior. And it was only the lovely Lord Jesus Christ who lived this sinless life. You read your Old Testament, and when they came to worship God at the tabernacle and the temple, they had to bring a lamb. They would bring it to the priest, and he would inspect the lamb. Maybe it had a cut in its leg, or a scab, or a top. He would say, "Sorry, can't accept it. Your lamb has to be without blemish. Can't have a mark on it." And dear friends, that's the wonder of God's great salvation. He provided a sinless offering for sin, made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. John says He did no sin. John says in Him was no sin. And dear friends, the wonder of the Christian gospel is that we have a sinless Savior, the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only one who'll ever get you to heaven. And that's the only one who'll ever save your soul. And dear Christian friend, that's the only one who'll ever satisfy you, the Lord Jesus. In your walk with Him, in your talk with Him, in your relationship with Him, He's also God's sacrificial offering for sin. Do you remember the book of Hebrews very well? It says, "So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many," in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. But then in chapter 10 and verse 10 and 12 of Hebrews, it says these words about Him, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ." Here's it here, once for all. Verse 12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Dear friends, every religious system has a sacrifice for sins. I watched a program one night on TV, and they were bringing this deer or this goat, and they were going to slit his throat and sacrifice the blood for the sin. Dear friends, that will never do. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's sacrificial offering for sin. And we believe it with all our hearts. And we preach it with all our souls. And on a day of compromise and watering the gospel down, we cannot water it down to suit the world. And yet we meet plenty out there and about who say, "Listen, I've got a Christ of my own." A lady said to me one day, "I've got my own church." Now I'm a right sharp wee boy and I was about to say, "You're well to do if you've got your own church." Now, dear friends, there's only one sacrificial offering for sin, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Once. Once. He's not offered in a wafer. You don't receive Him on your tongue. Once. He will never be sacrificed again. And there's another dear thing we believe as Christians. He was God's sufficient offering for sin. Do you know the lovely verse in the book of Hebrews again, chapter 7, verse 25, we're just reading simply tonight, says indeed, "Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." You see, He's God's sufficient offering for sin. And that little word "uttermost" in biblical language means completely. You see, He doesn't just give you half salvation. He gives you full salvation. It also means perfectly. And perfect salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It also means, dear friends, finally. And if anybody's going to be finally saved, they'll have to come to Him. They'll have to make their way to the cross in their mind's eye and bow to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ and meet him indeed as God's sufficient offering for sin. Every Christian is satisfied with Christ's redemption. I was doing a bit of outreach one time in a little place called Scarva and robbing doors and handing out gospel tracts. And this lady came to the door and says, "What are you doing?" I says, "We're going around telling people about the Lord Jesus. We're giving out gospel tracts. We're telling people they need a Savior." "Well, what do you tell you?" She cut us in two. She ripped the socks clean off us, and then the next breath she says, "I'm a Christian." So we went to the next door, and this old dear come out. She says, "What are you doing?" I says, "We're going around telling people about the Lord Jesus and the gospel." She says, "God bless you, I'm saving myself." I says, "It's good to have Christian neighbors." She says, "Where?" I says, "In there," and she looked at me. You see, dear friends, that woman wasn't satisfied with the Christ of the Bible. One was satisfied, but the other dear lady wasn't. Didn't want to hear his name. Didn't want to be talking about him. Didn't want us doing what we were doing. But she said she was a Christian. Oh, dear friends, come on. Every Christian is satisfied with Christ's redemption. Are you satisfied with it? Every Christian is satisfied with Christ's resurrection. You know, the wonderful thing is, we serve a risen Savior, and he's in the world today. We don't serve a dead Christ. We serve the living Christ. And we have Old Testament prophecy to back up what we say and what we believe. We read about it in the Psalms. I know it's in the prophets as well, and I'll come to it in a moment. But in the book of Psalms, Psalm 16, verses 8 to 10 about the Lord Jesus, says these words, "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope." Here's it here. "For thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Some of you folk are well versed in your book, and you know as well in the book of Acts, when Peter is preaching to the religious Jews, he turns them to that very portion in Acts chapter 2, and verses 25 to 36, he preaches the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen what he says. "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Verse 26, therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope. Verse 27, because I will not leave my soul in hell, neither suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And from that psalm, Peter preached the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Christian friend, are you struggling here tonight? Are you struggling in your walk with God? Are you finding it tough and difficult? Of course, we all do at times. But can I encourage you tonight, we serve the risen Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is very much alive. The book says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Did you forget to pray this morning? He didn't. He didn't. Says he ever lives to make intercession. Prays for us every day. He's our great high priest in heaven. And we can go there as many times as we like. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know what we read about him in our Bibles? We also read about him in the prophets. Do you know that lovely portion which we learned as children to quote word for word? Isaiah 53, verses 10 to 11 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make a soul an offering for sin." Here's it here. "For she shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Verse 11, "He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." Now, how could he prolong his days? How could the pleasure of the Lord prosper in his hand? How could he see the travail of his soul and be satisfied if he didn't rise from the dead? And dear friends, today many are gaping into an empty tomb and they're looking for a dead Christ. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ presents the risen Savior. And we should be satisfied with him. Satisfied with the risen Lord. What a wonderful Savior we have in him. And then we have New Testament proof. You know, we get these people out on the doors. I'm sure you get them down around here. And I was sharing in our meeting this morning about you meet them from time to time. And they say simple words like, you know, there's contradictions in your book. And there's things in the Bible's not right. And yet we have New Testament proof to show about our risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that
great resurrection chapter, Paul says in verse 5 of it, and he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. After that he was seen above of 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Verse 7, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And dear friends, we have New Testament proof. If you had to go into a court of law, and you were involved in a car accident, and you had 500 witnesses that all saw the same thing, you'd win your case. And we have enough evidence in prophetic scriptures and New Testament proof to present the dying world the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful, isn't it? Tremendous book, isn't it? You know, there's a big man in the car with me. One night we were doing outreach in Coleraine, I shared it this morning, and we met this little chap in the doors. And he says, there's contradictions in your book, and there's things in your book aren't right. So when I do door work, I carry a little pocket Bible, and I just put it in the back pocket for a reference when we need to bring it out. And I says, are you sure about that? He says, I'm sure about it. I says, can you show me? He says, I can. I says, right, go. He says, it's in Revelation chapter. So we turned to him and read the verse. No, it's not there, he says. It's in Revelation chapter. So we turned to him and read the verse. It's not there, he says. Say, let me tell you something, son. I have £1,000 saved. I ain't a wealthy man, by the way. It's for my holidays for me and my wife to go and get a wee break. And I says, we're heading away next week. And I'm prepared to cancel my holidays and come to your house with a check and present you the £1,000 check if you can show me contradictions in my book. Well, you know the story. It's history. Me and my wife went on holidays. We've a wonderful book, friends. We've a tremendous book that presents to a world in need of soul salvation the risen, exalted Lord Jesus Christ. Are you satisfied with his redemption? Are you satisfied with his resurrection? You know, there's something else here tonight. We'll keep it as brief as we can. Every Christian is satisfied with Christ's return. Now, I know there's different views on it. But I'll be honest with you from the pulpit, I believe there's such a thing as the rapture. That's where he comes to take his own home to glory before he puts foot on the earth again someday. And it's a wonderful truth. And it's a wonderful belief. And you know, the days on the countdown is getting lower every day. What way will it work out, sir? Well, it'll commence with a great rapture. Now, we haven't time to turn to all the verses, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, here's what Paul said. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. It will commence with a great rapture. Now, he says we shall be caught up. Now, the world says to you and I, the word rapture is not in the Bible. Dear friends, it's a Greek word called harpazo. And here's what it means. It means to rescue from danger. You see, there's an Antichrist coming. Dear friends, there's Satan's man coming. And he's going to appear on the scene. Where he is at the present time, I don't know. Is he in his mother's knee? I don't know. Is he a teenager? I don't know. Is he an adult at the present time? I don't know. But he's going to come. And there's going to be a little while of rest and peace. And then there's going to be a thing called the Great Tribulation. And you see, the Lord's coming back. He hasn't appointed us under wrath, but to obtain salvation through himself. And dear friend, if you're saved, he's taking you home someday to glory. What for? To remove us from that danger. Not a wonderful prospect. Not a wonderful hope among COVID. Not a wonderful hope among people that's dying all around us. That one day we're going home to glory with our dear Lord Jesus Christ. It also means, folks, to seize by force. I wonder, will some of them not want to go? Lord, I have a big bank account. Lord, I have a few million, and I don't want to leave it behind, because it means to seize by force. Will he have to rip some of the believers away to glory? Oh, listen, dear friends, invest for him. Invest for him. Spend and be spent for him. Give us on to him. You know, we're living in a day, and you can ask the question, shall a man rob God? In what way have you robbed me? Through tithes and offerings. Oh, don't tell them to tithe today. They'd look at you, wouldn't they? Shall a man rob God? And dear friends, to seize by force, to rescue from danger, to take from one place to another. You know, I worked in the police for 12 and a half years in Lurgan before I went to Bible school. And there's no alcoholic about the town. And I had a soft heart for him. And he used to walk about the town singing these words, "This world is not our home, we're just a passing through." Jim Reeds. I used to hear that in my granny's. My grandmother was a Christian. And she had Jim Reeds' record, "This world is not our home, we're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels..." Isn't that right? He's going to take us. He's going to take us from one place to another. It also means in biblical language to claim for oneself. Not a wonderful thing. What's the church called? The bride of Christ. What's he coming for? To take his bride home. To claim for himself. Every colour, every continent, every creed, every country. They'll be there from all around the globe. And they'll only be there, dear friends, on one condition. They've been to the cross in their mind's eye. They've realized that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin, and they've bowed the knee to the Lordship of Christ. And boy, oh boy, they're going home as the bride of the Lord. Tell me, will you be going? Will you be going? If he came tonight, would you be caught up? Or as one old preacher said one day, some will be caught on. Some will be caught on. And isn't this a wonderful thing to be satisfied with? The Lord's return, he's coming to take his own. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It'll continue with a glorious reunion. Look at another wee bit of verse 17. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Oh boy, isn't that wonderful? I'm looking forward to seeing my granny. Looking forward to seeing my old safe grandmother. And you know, I prayed for my mother for 10 years. Prayed 10 years for my mother. She'd had a hard life, believe you me. Believe you me, without getting into detail, my mother had a hard life. And I prayed 10 years that God would save my mommy. And on her 80th year, he saved her. And he gave her one more year on earth. And my mother had a terrible time down here. We'll not go into detail, believe you me. I'm looking forward to seeing her, friends. I'm telling you, she'll shed no more tears. No more tears, I'm telling you. No more tears, no more crying. I used to see my mother weep. No more sadness, a sore broken. Sore trembling, sore shaking like a leaf. I'm looking forward to seeing her one day. Of an older brother died in infanthood. Died as a baby. I'm looking forward to seeing him. And maybe you've some dear loved one, a mother, a father, a husband, a wife, a brother, a sister, a child, a baby. And you're going to be reunited with them one day. And that's going to be a tremendous thing, isn't it? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? And then you see, folks, it'll climax with a glorious rejoicing. "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Verse 18. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Oh boy, oh boy. The glorious hope is certain. He says, we'll ever be with the Lord. The glorious hope is comforting. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." What does the word comfort mean? Encourage. Do you encourage your pastor? You know, you get a lot of places and you know what the Sunday lunch is? Roast pastor. They're only around the table and they rip the shirt clean off his back. Do you know, a big chap used to worship with us one time. And he was one of these boys. He'd been in every church that claimed evangelicalism up around the North Coast. And every church he went to, there was something wrong with it. And of course he would go out of the church on a Sunday. He'd go home with his wife and two children to sit down to the dinner. He'd admitted this to myself. And they had roast preacher along with their dinner. Well, it got to the stage, he'd been not far. And one time he was ripping our place apart too. And I eyeballed him. Sometimes you've got to speak up and stand up. We're not wimps, you know. And I said to him, "This big fella, you've only one thing left to do now. Sit in the house on Sunday, read your Bible." What's he do? Don't go anywhere. Trailed his wee wife around every church, in a tangle up around Coleraine, till she started coming on her own. She goes nowhere either. And you see, dear folks, comfort one another with these words. Encourage one another. Do you encourage each other in Abbott's Cross? Do you encourage the people? Do you encourage the pastor? Do you encourage the leadership? Do you encourage the membership? Do you encourage the young folk? Oh, we want the young folk to be old folk before they grow up. Do you know there was a time of wee lad kicked the ball that I said he couldn't be saved? Some of you old fellas kicked the ball yourself when you were younger.
didn't you? And we ripped them apart. And we tear them asunder. Instead of putting our arm around them and encouraging them. And the things of God and the things of the Lord. I want to ask you tonight as we bring our meeting to a close. You satisfied? You satisfied? You satisfied with Christ's redemption? Do you know Him? Could you say yes? He's my Savior and He's my Lord. You born again? You genuinely born of God? Do you know about the cleansing blood? Could you say, I know Him and He knows me? You satisfied with Christ's redemption? You satisfied with His resurrection? You satisfied that He's alive today? Very much alive? Lives in the power of an endless life? Are you satisfied with His return? You're looking forward to seeing Him. You know, just one glimpse of Him in glory. Well, the toils of rightful play. Can I tell you something, folks? I cried an awful lot of tears as a child. An awful lot of tears. Sometime the upbringing. And the home wasn't happy. But I'll tell you this here. I'm looking forward to seeing Him. There's times when we seen my father's face. It wasn't a happy occasion. Wasn't a happy moment. Wasn't a happy memory. But just one glimpse of Him in glory. Will the toils of life repay? Looking forward to seeing Him. Looking forward to seeing Him. Said to my wife one day, I wasn't saved till I was 32. I wish I had given Him more. I wish I had done more for Him. I wish I was fitter than I am. Times I wish I was keener than I was. And as we bring our meeting to a close, and our sister's going to sing, and then I'll pray, sorry, and our sister will close in song. If you need the Lord tonight, listen, Andrew and these folk are here. And you know who they are better than I know. If I can help you in any way, please speak to us. And I'll just go have a short prayer. And our dear sister and minister in song. Just a short word of prayer, please. Our Father, we thank You indeed tonight. That Jesus Christ is alive today. I know it's true. We thank You He conquered everything we face. Everything we fear. Hell and death and the grave. Showed Himself to His own disciples by many infallible proofs. Walked out to the Mount of Olives, went back to heaven's glory. And of course the angel could say these words, this same Jesus. So Lord, we thank You that soon and very soon, the King could pull back those clouds and take His bride home. Bless every head bowed tonight. Homes and families we represent. And if we know Thee not, grant us that we might come to Thee and find peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the one that's ministered in song. And bless us as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name we give You thanks. Amen.
Should I fear that You are home.